All right, today is May 28th, year 2006. It is the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension. But we were talking about last week about how few people, like Ron said, that Noah worked 100 years on the ark and he didn't get one convert. But okay, what did he care? He tried what he could try. That's their problem, not his. His main concern was that he's doing the will of God, he's in the church, and he wants to do the right thing with God. Well, this is another awesome prophecy in the book of Ezekiel, which also happened in the Old Testament period of time. And it relates to the final days too, because it's the exact same thing. All the Jews were going bad, they were desecrating God's temple, they were heretics, idolaters, blasphemers, they were committing fornication, all kinds of sins, and God determines at this point the destruction's at hand. And then in Ezekiel he's saying, this is scary too, because a lot of times when we're here, not to help all of us few Catholics that are Mary's little remnant, not to get discouraged when our family members don't convert because they're not converting and because they're not listening. And maybe they never will listen. And maybe they never will convert. And maybe every one of our family members will go to hell and not one of them will convert. Maybe one or two will. Most likely, as God tells us, most people won't get saved anyway, so we can't expect most of our family members to convert anyway. But we don't even, if it's according to, this is also an ominous prophecy here. I don't believe it's going to be that strict, but when you read about it, it could be. So this will help anybody to understand that a sign of God's church in these final days is not that they're going to necessarily be bringing in your family members and friends, or they're saying, well, are we doing something wrong? Maybe we don't have the faith. Why is God not converting these people? Because they're not worthy of it. And here it is. Look, Ezekiel chapter 14, start at verse 12. He says, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, when a land shall sin against me, as to transgress grievously, I will stretch forth my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of the bread thereof, and I will send famine upon it, and I will destroy man and beast out of it. Destroy everybody. And he says, and if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, shall be in it, they shall deliver their own souls by their justice, says the Lord of hosts. So the just people, the few that are just, they'll say, but why should you go on? And if I shall bring mischievous beasts also upon the land to waste it, and it be desolate, so that there be none that can pass because of the beasts, and if these three men shall be in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered, and the land shall be made desolate. Or if I bring the sword upon the land, and say to the sword, pass through the land, and I destroy man and beast out of it, and these three be in the midst thereof, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they themselves alone shall be delivered. That's scary. For them, not us. It's our hope. So what God's saying, you stay faithful to me when the Antichrist does all his dirty damage, punishing all these wicked evildoers, he'll preserve us. And when the time comes for us to die, it'll be in another manner, as a martyr. But when the punishment comes upon this earth, which God's going to allow the Antichrist to bring upon the earth, God's going to not only preserve us from the famine and the sword, he's going to exalt us so we can then start to re-teach and re-preach his faith out to the people and get converts. But the whole point of this whole thing is, it's scary because God said, I'm not going to save your sons. I'm not going to save your daughters. I'm not going to save your husbands or your wives if they're out there. I'm not going to save your fathers or mothers. Now, that I wouldn't say that's 100% rule. We do hope that there's going to be some converts. True. But this is what God said before, and this is what he did. So this is going to help all the people out there that are overly affectionate with their family members, and they keep wanting to hang on to them, they keep wanting to be in social communion with them beyond what is necessary to convert them, and if you want that, they're all yours, because then you're going to go down with them. Mm-hmm. This is a real, real big warning to all of us. You better love me more than your family members, and if your family members aren't loving God the way they should, and they're not listening, you better not be social with them. You better not be loving them more than me. You better get away from them. You better start denouncing them. You better start condemning them, because they are going to go. And I will not even hear the prayers of holy men for them, which means usually God does have the intercession of Moses sparing the Jews that converted. Here God's saying, I'm not going to hear none of it. So in other words, that's just to help us not get discouraged when we say, boy, I'm praying for the conversion of my family, and nothing's happening. And in other words, it doesn't reflect upon you not being holy, or you can look at yourself, am I doing something wrong? No, of course, we're never perfect. We can always pick out things in which we can be better. But God's saying, no, I don't care if Noah was here, if Job was here, if Daniel was in this room right now praying for my father and our family members, I ain't gonna save them. So this it shows us, even in Noah's Ark, all those years, the people not being saved, you know? So this gives us the idea of this over-sentimentality toward you. You want to start leaning more towards your family members, you're in trouble that way. And it helps us in the sense of not being going into despair because you don't see them converting. It's prophecy. That's this hard prophecy we just read here in here. He says, those three men will be saved, but the rest of them, boom. I will spare them, but the rest are going by the wayside. The Jakatas, the Sanborns, the Harrisons, all these bums out there if they don't convert. And I really believe they're going to get hit the hardest. They're all going to go by the wayside.
Who's the three men he's speaking?
Noah, Job, and Daniel, he said. Noah, Job, and Daniel. They say that these three men are in it, and he goes on more to say, I will not spare it. I will not spare it because they've now filled up the cup of my wrath. I've given them plenty of time for mercy. No more mercy. They're done. They're out. They're damned. And that's when people get angry. That's how many people left out of Mary's Little Remnant because we started telling them they weren't hard enough with their family members. And they thought we were too cruel because we said only few were saved. Well, read Ezekiel 14. You're not arguing with me. You're arguing with God. And also I'll tell you another thing that you're arguing with. You're arguing with God's divine positive laws, in other words, in the evidence before your very face. Everyone has a law upon their heart. You're not stupid. Men are evil, period. Even natural law can tell you that. Just look at the way family members and people are behaving in society. You've got to be an idiot, even on the natural plane, to think that we're living in a paradise and people are good. Let alone that Catholics should be putting this over inordinate attention towards their non-Catholic family members and choosing them over God. Being timid in their denunciations. Wanting to remain socially friendly with them. They're going to have to sit down and examine it and start reading Ezekiel 14. You want to take the side of your family member and you want to go over to the mushy god, small g, that allows that? He's all yours because that's Satan and you're dead because our God's going to tear you to pieces. He's going to drag you down and don't tell me and don't anybody say we haven't warned them. Mm-hmm. We're warning them. Don't say God's not merciful. If you're hearing what I'm saying now in the sermon, he's giving you a chance to repent of your over-affection to your family members. This is hogwash, and we will not have it in Mary's Remnant because they will bring their weakness in here, and before you know it, it's nothing more than a social community of Catholics mixing with non-Catholics and not denouncing people. And not denouncing them first for their own conversion, too. But first for God and your own soul, and then for their conversion. So that's just a warning. And that's also an edification for us not to despair when people aren't listening. It backs up what I said yesterday, and even an Easter sermon. Who cares if there's a few? What does it matter? Numbers. It's not about numbers. The numbers are in our favor, according to scriptures, which means almost everybody's bad, and there's very few that are going to be saved. All right, now, we were just talking about God's little signs that he gives us. You know, this is just one of those little things God does to us when we serve him. He does many miracles to us, but I'm just going to mention one of them. And he does, this is one of his, I think it's one of his best little things he does to us. When you're reading the Holy Scriptures, and when you're praying the divine office, and when God is mostly pleased with you, I always say mostly pleased because I don't want people to get the wrong impression to think that we think we're perfect, although I do want to be perfect. I definitely do, and I do want to be a saint, and I don't want to have mortal sins, and I try not to have venial sins. I don't want them either, and I don't even want to have faults. But when you're mostly pleasing to God, and he sees you are progressing and you are doing good, he gives you these little, what I call signal graces, these little nudges that he's there. And, for instance, when you're reading the scriptures, we were talking this week, like, at the beginning, I think it was two nights ago, when we were at dinner table, we were talking about insane people today, they're really possessed by devils. It's really demonic possession. And the most that science can do for these people is chain them down by drugs, you know. You're suppressing him so his physical body can't go out and beat people up, but he ain't curing a problem. The devil's still in there. As soon as he stops taking his pills, he goes out and starts killing people. Like that schizophrenic woman that we read about in the news a couple weeks ago. She went crazy when she was off her medication and killed her husband and tried to kill other people. So all the drug is really doing to that woman is nothing more than putting chains on her physical body so she can't go out and carry out her violent passions. The devil's still in there. She ain't changed one bit. You didn't cure her. Because the real problem is demonic possession. Psychiatry cannot heal spiritual ills. Period. End of discussion. They can only cover them up, divert them, change them, try to change the situation a little bit, but they can't cure them. They can't go in there and pull out that devil. Only the Catholic faith and Catholic Church can do that. So we were talking about it at the table, and we were saying, well, yeah, Ron says, what, and then we were talking about an idea you got to chain them down. And then Phil was even saying, some of them you can hardly even hold down. They're so strong because of the devil's in them. Because he was an attendant in one of these places, and they're very strong. And Ron said, yeah, what about that guy that was chained down, and he broke the chains? And then Jesus came and then knocked the devils out of him. And then Phil said, wasn't it the garrisons, the ones that went to the pigs? Well, the very next day, that was my Bible reading. Mm-hmm. the pigs into Gerson, the man who was chained down. So we were talking about it the night before, and then the very next morning, that was my daily reading. Now, I always mention these things to you, but I'll say what happened to the night after that. Just last night, we were talking about the fig tree, that when our Lord cursed the fig tree, because he did everything, you know, once if it's not bearing fruit and he wants it to bear fruit, he curses it and he cuts it down. And we were talking about the fig tree. This morning, Sister Marie's reading was the fig tree that was cursed. And this morning, Sister Jane was praying the divine office, and right when she came to the part about bees, there was bees run flying right around out there. She was looking at them first, and then came to that, heard them, you know, seen them. And the guy does, he does a lot kind of stuff to you. If you don't read the Bible, if you're not doing the divine office, and if you're not pleasing to God, you need those three things. Because you can read the Bible like Protestants do, and you can do the divine office like schismatics do, you're going to get these things. But God does this to you. He's giving you a little nudge. He's showing you that I'm with you. I'm pleased with you, mostly pleased with you. And he's saying, who but can do that? God do this? You're not thinking about this the night before when you're talking about it. The very next day, there it is, it's your reading. Last Ascension Thursday. Sister Jane's reading was the Mark 16 Ascension Thursday reading. On Ascension Thursday. Oh, God's been doing this to me for years now. This is just what I call, I love these little things. Even as much as if he comes down and does a miracle. These things are almost even more spectacular because God sets up the whole situation for you to talk about it. Then he has you read about it the next day. He does all these little confirmations for you. Another one we're talking about today, which relates, I didn't even read the gospel reading for today till this morning. Now today, my daily scripture reading that I was memorizing, because I memorize scriptures every day, I memorize my new ones, then I go back and memorize two pages of my old ones, so I keep constantly recycling over my scriptures. Now the one I concentrated on today was John 16:2-3. And he says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. And everyone who killeth you will think he doth a service to God. And they will do these things to you because they know neither the Father nor me. I was concentrating on that one today, and I went over at least three or four times. I really zeroed in on it. And I was contemplating it. I was going to, and I know I don't usually always take that much time on one verse, but that morning I was looking on the John 16:2-3. And I was looking at it, I was thinking about it in relation to the unbelieving Jews. And when Father Harrison said, well, they believe in one God and he's invisible. Well, these Jews that were in the synagogue believed in one invisible God, but they were persecuting the Catholics who introduced the new covenant. And what did Jesus say about them? Neither the Father do they know nor me. And Harrison said, no, they do know the Father. They worship the Father, even though they don't know the Son. No. Now, I was thinking of that this morning. I came in here and read the daily reading. And that's it. That's our gospel reading for today. That's almost like God trying to tell me I want you to extrapolate upon it a little bit. And he does all these things for you. These are just little signal graces I mentioned that God gives us. He does many things like that to us. I mean, here you are getting ready to read about the bee in the divine office, and God sends some bees around you, and you're looking at it. He does a lot of things like that. And so that means God is the master of everything. When God's on your side, who can be against you? He does this to us in many ways, you know. And then he's confirming that you're on the road right. He's nudging you. He's saying, I'm right by you. See, I'm alive. I'm real. I exist. I mean, even if that's all that God did for us, that's 100,000% million bona fide proof that God exists. Who can do this but God? And he does it so naturally. He doesn't even nudge or infringe on your free will. It's just, he makes it happen naturally. You'll talk about the conversation the night before, and there you are, you're reading the scriptures. He paves road for things. God's a master of everything. So in here, this verse, what I was reading in relation to this, they will put you out of the synagogues. First, that was one of my contemplations. Then the other one came to me, I was reading this morning, was, the first one, of course, was, who's putting them out of the synagogues? Jews. Unbelieving Jews who rejected the new covenant in Jesus Christ. Now, these Jews believed in the one invisible God. They didn't believe, all right, and they should have believed that God made visible, because that was Christ, and that was their big mistake. But what does Jesus say? He says, and they're going to kill you thinking they're doing a service to God, because now they're believing they're serving the true God. He says, but no, neither the Father do they know nor me. Harrison says, yes, they do know God. Yes, they do believe in God. Yes, they worship the true God. They just don't believe in Jesus yet, but they do know. Jesus says they know. There's another one. Even he admitted in John 8 that when Jesus called your father, your God's not your father, the devil, he goes, well, I don't mean them. Well, then your whole thesis falls out the window. Because your whole thesis was, all you got to do is say, I believe in one invisible God. And then identify and worship the true God. Not true, buddy boy. Not true. They don't believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Trinity. Now, how else does this relate to us? Synagogue. Who's that? Catholics. So-called Catholics. Phony, baloney, self-righteous, so-called Catholics are going to be our worst persecutors. Yeah. And they're going to come up and say, that Mary's little remnant, Boy, I'm glad they're getting it. I'm going to beat them up. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to knock them down. I'm going to persecute them because they're not speaking for God and Mary and Jesus. They're phony Catholics. They give Catholicism a bad name. They're going to be saying all these things about us. So God's saying, but rejoice when that happens, because these people, they think they're doing a service to the God of the Catholic Church and the Holy Trinity, but they know neither the God of the Catholic Church nor Jesus, of course, because he is a God. So what he's saying is, most of the people that are going to be coming after us are so-called Catholics. You're not true Catholics. You're denying the papacy. They think we're going to be denied. By denying that, by calling these people apostate antipopes, they think we deny the papacy. Or by saying that only Catholics can get to heaven, they think we're heretics when that is the true teaching of the church. So most of the people, even traditionalists, they come at us with venom. They hate us with a passion. Mm-hmm. And they're thinking that they're doing a service to God. He says they have an appearance in 2 Timothy 1, 3-5. He talks about all the perversities that are going to take place. In the final days, men shall depart from the faith. They shall commit blasphemies, treachery, deceit, lying. And he says they're going to be traitors. They're going to be puffed up, stubborn, proud, lovers of pleasure more than God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's all the traditionalists. And they're going to, so our worst enemies in these days are going to be not even the Jews. It's going to be fallen away Catholics who proclaim themselves to be Catholics. They hate us the worst. The obstinate ones. You see? And that's why he says they're going to put you out of the synagogues, they're going to put you out of the churches. We don't want to be in the churches anyway. We left there anyway. But they're even going to be, we're the Catholics, but these guys are phonies. You know, well, we are the real thing, and they're the phonies. And God says, and they're going to think they really are doing the true God of service. They all believe that, you know. They're going to go out there with the banner thinking they're righteous and they're doing all this work for God. They're not serving the true God at all. So that's a pretty scary verse right there. So this is just a big warning for us here. Not a warning, but even just, again, it's a confirmation that we're correct and they're wrong. You know? No one could have sat down and said, is there something wrong with me, the whole world? I mean, us eight are the only ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. And everybody's saying, hey, no, you don't know the true God. We do. Your God is false. Well, you can imagine all the attacks that he underwent for all those years. But God, don't worry about these people. Don't worry about what they say about us. We're going to be attacked most by our own people. You know, and even our own people, like our Lord said, I'm not going to spare your sons or daughters. I'm not going to spare your mothers. Do you think they deserve it? Yeah, we always pray for it. He didn't say no at Daniel and Job weren't praying for it. We do have to pray for the conversion, but God knows, not me. God knows the hearts of men. And certainly we know one thing. We don't want anybody in the camp unless he's really sincere about being Catholic. He has to be 100% sincere and bend his neck under the yoke of Catholicism. You know, you can almost see why when the church brought people into her, she had them come down in front of the whole and make solemn confessions before everybody and bow their neck down with this humility. Because the big thing, we have a lot of people's pride in being admonished. They get even insulted when they're admonished or told what to do. As I tell some of our other brothers, this, you just came into church now. We're not Protestants, we're Catholics. You better bow your yoke down to God's law. There's things that need to be done, and we're going to tell you, don't like being told what to do, get out now. There's the door. Fine, go. Quick, run. Don't come back. I don't want you if you're not going to listen. One thing even, that's an important thing. You know, we don't hammer on faults. But when there's really big, some people try to take out of context the teaching of St. Paul, and he says, bear one another's faults. That's true. And we don't harp on one another's faults. We shouldn't do that. God will take care of that. But there's a difference between faults that are not bothering anybody and faults that are really very deadly and dangerous and even venial sins. Those that are hurting the community, those have to be spoken about. Or then you commit a venial sin, mortal sin, even if it's a mortal sin. And then it's worse than that. By you letting that come into the camp, it's going to expand and grow and get bigger. So we have to also be aware of a false charity, which is saying, just let back and let God take care of it if it's something that's serious. If somebody's coming in here and tearing up the camp with their speech, bad language, you know, bad jokes, bad stories, buffooneries, they're listening to hard rock and roll, or whatever their vice is, and they're trying to bring this into camp, and they're verbalizing, they're not willing to bend their yoke under the church laws, and these regards, these are serious things. These are not small things. These things we say, St. Paul said, don't even eat with your brother then. And 1 Corinthians 5:11, don't even eat with them. Don't have nothing to do with them. That's what he says in 2 Corinthians 5:6, a little leaven corrupt the whole lump. That's the stuff. And then the whole point we say to these people after they have committed these public sins, and we're trying to tell them, you're Catholic now, please don't do this anymore. We love you. That's why we're telling you this. I understand you may not have known before. Now you know. Don't do it. You know. Now if the person goes out and keeps doing it, then you say, well, we've got a big problem here. Didn't you just hear what I told you? This is the Catholic Church's teachings. Are you willing to obey God or not? You know, and if you're not willing to obey God, and if you don't want to be admonished, and if you think you can't be admonished, well then, get get out of here. You know, and the big thing is, well, did you do it or not? Do you deserve it? Now, the worst thing they can really do is the defender scene. Like we had the one individual kept defending hard rock and roll, the satanic stuff and all that. I says, it's an abomination. Yeah, we don't even pray with you now. We don't even eat with you. We don't want nothing to do with you. And he said, come on, let's kneel down and pray the rosary with me. Help me pray the Hail Marys. I ain't praying with you. None of us are praying with you. I said, and don't pray the Hail Marys no more if you're listening to hard rock and roll satanic. Mary doesn't want Satan out of your mouth on one lips and then Mary on the other lip. Mary doesn't like to be mixed into the company with Satan, okay? So don't even pray the rosary no more, because it ain't doing you no good. Because if it was doing you good, you wouldn't be doing this. And even this rebuke, we don't know, we still haven't heard from him. But what would happen if we left that guy in here? He would have been bringing his rock and roll into this. And even if he didn't bring it into here, so we have to leave, he's bringing his rock and roll devils in here, and God's punishing us because we know he's doing it. We're not rebuking him. And then what does he do on the side? He's bringing other kids into it, and when they're listening to it in his car or driving, he starts to indoctrinate other Catholics into his hard rock and roll. Or their buffoonery, or their bad language, or their bad jokes. You know, and so this is the thing about, we're not going to get many people in here. And a lot of people that are going to come in here to convert aren't going to remain. There's other verses on that one thing I'm going to get into, what it says. He goes in here to Ezekiel, by the way, he says, if you continue reading chapter 14, he says, but I will save a remnant. He says that in 14. I will kill almost every one of them, he says. I will kill almost every one of them. But he says in the end, I will save a remnant. He says, I will save a remnant. If you read the rest of this, we have a couple little minutes, I'll read the rest of it. We ended off on, he says, you read the scriptures, boy, you got to be, they say brain dead, right? And I say heart dead, too, because there's something wrong when you don't understand the real meaning of scriptures with your heart, I think, really. It's because you're not stupid to not understand them, but your heart is twisted. But these things are so obvious, it gives you the, if you're of good will and you read the scriptures and the word of God, it will convert you. I don't care who you are. But even if you're a good one, you don't know about the Catholic Church yet. God will give you and bring you into it. So he goes here, and he says, or if I bring the sword upon the land and say to the sword, pass through the land, and I destroy man and beast out of it, and these three men be in the midst thereof, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they themselves alone shall be delivered. Or if I also send a pestilence upon that land and pour out my indignation upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, and Noah and Daniel and Job be in the midst thereof, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, but they shall only deliver their own souls by their justice. Okay? So don't get discouraged if you're thinking you're maybe doing something wrong if your parents aren't listening. God just sees it as just. Now, for thus saith the Lord, although I shall send in upon Jerusalem my four grievous judgments, the sword and the famine and the mischievous beast and the pestilence, to destroy out of it man and beast, yet there shall be left in it some that shall be saved, who shall bring away their sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come among you, and you shall see their way and their doings, and you shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and all things that I have brought upon it. You shall be comforted when you see the destruction. What did we say a week or two ago or a week ago? Boy, it's going to be a great day when God destroys the Vatican. I was looking at it yesterday. It's going to be a great day when God drags these bastards down into the dirt and embarrasses them. I don't care if they go by the name Roman Catholic. We know they're not. That justifies us. We've been saying all along and warning you people, they ain't the church. Right. You better start not looking at them as a Catholic church, or you're going to despair of the whole church. Mm-hmm. And you think the church was false. I will glory in the day when God drags that harlot down to the ground. Mm-hmm. I will glory in the day when God takes the Jacatas and Sanborns and busts them and kills them and tortures them and destroys them if they be not converted. Because he's going to do it. And now our Lord assures us there's only going to be a few converted anyway. Very few. And why is he going to comfort us? Because God has put an end to these so-called Catholics so he can no longer desecrate the true God, and then we're left to present him truly to the world again in opposition to the Antichrist. If then it's only two parties. It's either the Catholic Party or the Party of the Antichrist. There's no more traditionalists. There's no more charismatics. There's no more of these other bums running around. They're going to be totally destroyed by the Antichrist and smitten into the ground. And we're going to be rejoicing. He says, you will be comforted in that day. And he says, there's only going to be a few saved out of that. A few. People want to go around. Oh, the SSP 10 has to be it because they're big enough. They're all over the world and they got a lot of people in there. No. No. What do you mean they have to be it? Why? Because they got a lot of people and they got bishops? And because they have the mass? Is that why? What about the Catholic faith? I know it's not them because they're heretics. And they're apostates for following these antipopes. And they believe Jews can get to heaven. And they believe a lot of the heresies. But I know it's not them. That's 100% guaranteed because I know it according to the faith. And the scriptures don't follow upon that anyway. So he goes, we will be comforted when we look at this destruction. We will be comforted when God knocks these people together. We don't know how that's going to happen, but I know one thing is they are going to be destroyed. You're going to see Rome fall. You're going to see these people get killed and destroyed. We're beginning to see it last night when we watched the thing on Channel 51, Dateline, which we'll show you. Ron just came in and caught me. We caught most of it. I didn't get it all. They're talking about the Roberto Calvi case, and who belonged to the P2 Masonic Lodge and was working with the Mafia, and he also was the banker of the Vatican. And it shows the connection to the Banco Ambrosio, which is the Vatican's bank that was involved with the Mafia and the Masons, and were laundering mafioso money and Masonic money. That was on TV last night. There's blood all over the Vatican. Real blood. I mean, Mafia hits, Mafia kills, drug money that are killing people, being funneled through the Vatican and used. And this came on TV last night, and realized it's beginning. Because the Jew also wants, even though he's using the harlot church to bring him to power, he spits her out when he don't need her anymore, because ultimately he has to destroy the whole name of Christ. We're beginning to see it, and I said, this is a glorious day when we saw this last night, for us. If this is the Catholic Church, then the Catholic Church is a phony baloney harlot. The church can't be this entity. This is just more evidence of anybody who's already suspecting things are really wrong, because it was what I said the other day. A lot of times people only respond to carnal things because they don't yet see the spiritual things. God will use that to bring them into the faith. Hey, whoa, look at this. These guys were laundering Mafia, Masonic money, and it was going, and they were harboring these criminals. You're going to see this. And it was on last night. There's nothing hid that shall not be made manifest. So he's going to first embarrass them, and he's letting the Jews do it. And why? I said, the very thing by which you sin is by which you shall be tormented. Wisdom 11:17. He who digs a pit shall fall into it. You know who's going to fall the hardest? All these fallen away Catholics we're fighting with, who say, there has to be a hierarchy. Where's the church if there's no bishops and pope? Where's the church if we don't have Rome? We need to have Rome. We need to have the buildings. We need to have people occupying the chairs. No, we don't need to have people occupying the chairs if they're heretics. And what they can't get through their heads, they think you need to have human beings. That the church is just a merely human institution. It's not divine, they don't really believe. So that they believe you need to have a visible hierarchy and you need to have a Rome. Well, you're going to be fooled, because when that falls, you're really going to be devastated. You're going to go by the wayside. You're going to despair of the whole Catholic religion. You're going to go over to the Antichrist in the snap of a finger and the apostate Jews. And who's to say that God is not piling on multitudes of evidence to these people that if you're of good will, you can sit back and look at it and see it. All right, we'll end that here, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.